مرحبا بكم يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي.
أحسنتم. And why do we say ارجعي not ارجعي or ارجعي؟
Because we should see the third letter. And
we should look at the first non-ساكن letter. The first non-ساكن letter after ألف والوصل, which is جيم in our case. Right?
Yes.
What haraka does it have? If it has a kasra vowel, then, or a fatha vowel, we give what? We give kasra to the alif al-wasl. If it has a dhamma, that's when we say dhamma for the alif al-wasl. In this case, it's irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Beautiful recitation.
فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد.
So on that day, none will punish as severely as his punishment.
ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد.
And none will bind as severely as his binding of the evildoers.
يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة.
To the righteous it will be said, O reassured soul.
ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية.
Return to your Lord, well pleased and pleasing to Him.
Now ask Brother Masoom to kindly recite from verse 29 of Surah Al-Fajr. It's only two verses left, so I'm sorry for the little bit time that we have.
فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي.
MashaAllah, short and sweet. The dal with the qalqala and the kha with the tafkhim. Very well recited by Brother Masoom.
فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي.
And enter among my righteous servants.
وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي.
And enter my paradise.
And that was the beautiful recitation of Surah Al-Fajr by our brothers Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Thanks again to all of you and dear listeners for joining us in this Let's Recite the Quran program. And we'll conclude this episode with the salawat on Muhammad and Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Thank you. visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Today is Tuesday, 15th of July, 2025, corresponding to 24th of Tir 1404 on the Iranian solar calendar and 19th of Muharram 1447 on the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar. We start off this hour's programs with our radio productions feature. After that, we have dialogue. The program looks at the most important conversations between Shia imams and their followers, questioners, and leaders of the other Islamic faith and sects. And our final program this hour will be Youth Station, a program all about young people and dealing with topics related to youth. Stay with us for this hour.
Israeli fighter jets carried out a strike on a group of civilians. Three people have been killed, several others were injured. And among those killed is a five-year-old child. His name is Mahmoud Shukri.
I am Abu Bakr Abed, a 22-year-old journalist who was forced to become a war correspondent. I was a football commentator and reporter. And that's what I'm going to resume, inshallah, after this war. I do remember that I never used the word kill, bomb, bombard, injure, wound, or any, you know, sort of these vocabularies at all. I've always loved watching football games, listening to the interviews of players, coaches, managers, directors, and everyone. And even the fans, like, every word from them really meant to me. That's why, in fact, that's why I learned English. I learned English through football.
Al-Hilal are trying to find an equalizer. Saud has the ball, switches the play to Abdelhamid on the right-hand side, who plays across for Mitrovic, who volleys it into the top corner.
When we talk about Gaza, we're talking about nearly half of the population is children. And those children don't have anything to do with this war. So it's for me, because I have a responsibility also to go bring food, bring water, help my family.
So that's the start of a normal day in Gaza before going to report on what has been happening on the ground. We have to come. We are now I'm just walking to reach Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, where I usually report. And just like two massacres occurred overnight, and with around probably 40 people have been killed around Gaza, in central Gaza, there in the north.
You can look how difficult our life is. The streets are laden with sewage and litter. You can see how people are suffering every single day. They're queuing up for water. They can't find food. They are living amid the pools of stagnant sewage and litter around them. So they're lacking everything. So it's very expensive. Like, we usually, before the war, we used to bring kilos of vegetables, but it's impossible to buy things in kilograms.
We don't have enough food for me, for my family. We are rationing ourselves to very little every day. When we reach times that we had to eat bung-infested flour to eat canned beef, specialized for pets.
It's just candy cutting again, because even for myself, so it's not only for the children, because everything is too expensive, and it's very tasty for me, I think.
I've just arrived at the hospital to go and report on what has been happening in Gaza, in the north or in central Gaza, which the Israeli military says it's a safe humanitarian zone, although it's not, because at least around 10 people here have been killed in an overnight strike in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. And particularly those camps, Al-Nusayrat, Al-Maghazi, Al-Buraj, and even Dar al-Balah, those camps have been relentlessly hit over the course of time, particularly during the past 7 days. And here is the press fish that I'm going to wear moments later to deliver the report. And here is the logo. It's quite ripped apart because it's been, you know, it's been used so much. I'm just going to prepare myself for the report. So it's very important always to bring some important details, particularly stats issued by the Gaza Media Office, that more than 190 journalists have been killed. So here comes the risk of being a journalist in Gaza. You are absolutely risking your life to deliver a message, to deliver the message of those severely brutalized and traumatized people, new people, and it's your duty to do so. In West Gaza City, in Al Zaytun neighborhood, the fighter jets and Israeli vehicles continue opening fire and unleashing volleys of projectiles. The ideas of being killed or being bombed or targeted at any second during the current time are still chasing you every while. They can't really vanish or fade away from your mind because you're thinking about those Israeli warplanes are hovering in the sky every single second. Fighter jets are there. Drones keep pulsing, like blowing your mind away. Today is an anniversary that I really want to forget because Israel, on this day last year, killed my very dearest friend Al-Hassan Matar. He wasn't even a friend, he was more than a friend. He was a brother, he was my companion. He was everywhere with me. I do remember how he was so connected with Liverpool in particular, and he was loving Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, so I'm sure that he will be so happy and ecstatic about the current situation of Liverpool. Israel didn't even kill him, but killed everything related to him. His dreams, destroyed his house, and, you know, claimed his life, and many others like him, not only Al-Hassan. So Al-Hassan is just one example in this life. So it's just another blood-soaked day here in Gaza, where, as always, more people have been killed, others have been wounded. It's heartbreaking. So I've just arrived to one of the tented camps with my friends where we usually watch football together after doing some reporting at the hospital or elsewhere. So we're gonna watch some football. So here it is, Arsenal play in Monaco. It gives you so much energy to, you know, to watch football games because you don't have any other options. And football is life, to be honest, not only for me, but for these people. There in the stands, fans in Gaza would usually gather to watch their favorite teams and cheer on their players. These stadiums used to erupt every single weekend in Gaza. But now the story is completely different. Football unites everyone, and that's why I'm very insistent on bringing the Palestinian cause up to the world, up to every single one, through football. That's why I want to continue. That's why I became an avid football fan. And I do hope that I will be, and I will resume doing the reporting in football, the thing I really, really love. Every journalist in Gaza is a hero to me, and you must recognize that. You must really appreciate them for everything they do. So Palestinian journalists and Palestinians overall are dreaming to live, but while all the world are living to dream. So we need to talk about this, and we need to talk about those heroic journalists that deserve everything you can really do for them, because they are telling you the truth.
why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghibah.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications, so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. So as we speak about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi, the awaited savior of humanity, may Allah hasten his reappearance, we find that he has this conversation and this back and forth with an individual by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Ja'far. And so here this individual, he asks various questions to Imam al-Mahdi, and of course his eminence, the awaited savior of humanity, he answers this question of this individual. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Ja'far, he narrates that according to what Imam al-Mahdi has said in a different part or in a different time, that if one touches a dead body while it is still warm, they are only obliged to wash their hands. But if the corpse and the dead body has cooled down, and then one touches it after that, one is obliged to perform the ritual bath of touching a dead body. And so, is this correct or not? And Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, says that if an individual touches the dead body while it is warm, it is only necessary to wash the hands. Now, this is interesting because in a previous program, we had talked about how this specific explanation was not put forth. But what is interesting is that in this situation, the answer has been given directly. So, for example, Imam al-Mahdi, he directly says that it is because the fact that the body was still
warm, and that's why you don't have to do the ritual bath. So it's really interesting, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to start to kind of wonder where our jurisprudential rulings come from, you know, where are these, well, I guess that's the main question, is where are these rulings coming from? And here we see that these rules, of course, are coming from the Holy Quran, the verses of the Holy Quran, and of course they are coming from the traditions of the divinely appointed imams. And what's really beautiful is that despite the occultation of the 12th divinely appointed imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, you know, despite his occultation, we find that he too is dealing with these jurisprudential questions. And so, you know, we should never like doubt that our jurisprudence, the jurisprudence of the Shia madhab, the Shia school of thought, is correct or not. It is actually the most correct jurisprudence that is out there, alhamdulillah, because these divinely appointed imams whom we are connected with, these divinely appointed imams were connected with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And of course, this is how the jurisprudence of the Shia school of thought is much stronger, is much purer, and it is less distorted, for example, than the other schools of thought. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Ja'far.
If we go even further back and look at the previous prophets and how their people behaved, look at, for example, the Jews to whom the Prophet Musa ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salam was sent. They saw some astounding miracles which we can perhaps not even imagine to ever see in our lifetime. Take, for example, the miracle they saw of a staff being changed into a serpent. Or take, for example, the miracle of the parting of the sea. Can you imagine, many of you may have seen a sea or an ocean. I know there are some who have never lived out of Ontario and they've never seen anything but a lake. But I'm sure you have seen an ocean even on television. And if you're standing at the shores of an ocean and the sea begins to part in front of your eyes and you're walking on the seabed now and there are walls of water besides you that rise up like mountains and you walk across this, what more would you want than this as evidence? Yet, after having seen this miracle, they still went and worshipped a calf. And they turned away from God. So, this is the first glimpse that makes us wonder, can physical signs really give you concluding evidence and a conviction that will never make you turn away from the truth? And there is an interesting incident that's narrated in Nahjul Balagha, that during the Khilafat of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, a Jew came to the Imam, and he tried to mock Islam in the presence of the Imam. He said to him, "O Ali, you Muslims, your prophet died. You had not even buried him when you started fighting amongst yourselves." That was his argument. The reply of the Imam, astounding and beautiful. "We argued about who should succeed our prophet, but we did not argue about the message that our prophet brought. Whereas you Jews, the mud in your sandals after walking across the ocean had not even dried when you said to your prophet, 'Make for us a god to worship like these idol worshippers have a god.'" And this is in the Quran where Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 138, "قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ اِجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَةً." As soon as they crossed the sea, they saw a group of people worshipping an idol. They said, "Oh Moses, make for us an idol so that we too may worship it like they worship." And he said to them, "Surely you are an ignorant people."
for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is Youth Station. I'm Asma, and I'm so happy to be here with Nahid.
Same here.
How are you?
Good. A little bit tired, but still great.
Ah, tired. Yeah, I know that you're a hardworking girl, so you must be tired. You know, because the speed of life is getting so high, and we have to actually moderate ourselves and manage this timing, and this is the part that becomes so difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we feel so tired sometimes, actually. But anyway, is it a thing that is related to only our era, our time, or no? In past also, people felt this tired.
Did they even label us as lazy people? It drives me mad.
You know, I think they label us as lazy because in past people did stuff that was more tangible, like,
yeah,
they went
more
to
physical.
The field, more physical. Yeah, very true. Like they went to the from the very morning they started,
yeah,
they had to go through too much of drudgeries.
Yeah,
like right now there are machines helping us, but it doesn't mean that we are
lazy.
Less active than them.
Yeah, you know, recently I was talking to my nutritionist. As you know, I've been on a diet last year.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was just like rechecking my health with him. And then he started by just blaming, okay, you young people are lazy because you don't walk. And I was like, okay, I'm not taking some tools. I'm going to the land for farming every day.
Yeah.
But still, I'm working.
But that doesn't mean
I'm doing
active.
The things that you cannot even imagine. I'm managing lots of things that you can't just time them. You cannot manage this time for those plans that we young people are doing.
Yeah.
So I think the problem is this, that sometimes the previous generations, not all of them, of course, like our parents are seeing our plans, and they are fascinated by how the young people today are managing lots of things.
Managing everything.
Yeah, I know a 19-year-old girl who is a teacher, who is a translator, and at the same time she works at a company. I mean, full-time job, at the same time, two part-time jobs. So, and she studies.
Yeah.
So when we just look at them, in the past it was just simpler. The definition was simpler.
I guess what they blame us and accuse us of being is not being lazy. What they mean is actually maybe not being spirited enough
to
show it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we are not lazy people. Like, it's very clear that we're not lazy, but maybe we're not making too much of a voice out
and
of it.
And our
like,
era
it's
has
not
changed.
So busy. Yeah.
No, you can't see our effort. Mm-hmm. One person from outside cannot simply see what we are doing. They look at us as people who are just sitting in a chair all day, maybe, and they say, okay, this person is lazy. Just because the work of the young people today is not physical, because they're not walking the whole time,
yeah.
Even if they are, it's not visible.
Exactly. The same thing that I was just trying to say, that maybe right now, because of us not doing physical stuff, too
yeah.
much of physical stuff that is so tangible. Like, you know, the problem with people is that if you do not show them you're running, you're too
yeah.
much working, they would not believe it, and they would take you as a lazy person.
Yeah.
Specifically, they accuse the youngsters, but they forget about the fact that, okay, time has changed, and these youngsters have got the planning for their time,
yeah.
and they do things mostly with their cell phones or while they're sitting in front of their laptops or computers. So there is no longer that much of a need for you to be in a hustle and bustle in front of people. That's
yeah.
why they would take you as lazy.
Yeah, and I would always try to challenge this stereotype that young people are lazy. Because I think even today, because of the problems of the world, because life is being more complicated, I think even young people are more hardworking than the past. In the past, the way was clear.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not saying that they were just being
yeah.
comfortable, everything
mm-hmm.
was ready. No, of course not. They had their own problems. But the way of life was clear and simplified.
Was simpler.
Yeah, it was simplified
for them.
That
was really simpler.
They knew, okay, I had to wake up every morning, go to school, come back home, help my mom, and then in the afternoon do the homework, and day was over. I mean, no other pressures from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But today, imagine the life of a teenager, even a teenager at the age of 16, 17. They have the wants and dreams and needs that sometimes parents are not able to support them. So they know that they have to take some actions. They have to do something for the things they want, for their dreams.
Yeah.
Some of them are working.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they have to study because it's how life goes. They have to be educated
yeah.
to get a good job.
It's, you know, it's multi-factored, multi-dimensional
yeah. Now there
sort
are
of
too
a
many perspectives
issue.
To a simple life.
Yeah, it's a multidimensional sort of an issue that we have to consider different parts of it. But as for now, for the introduction, just believe it. Youngsters are not lazy,
yeah.
but they have different plannings. We go for a break and then we come back to see the changes and the differences of this generation with the past generations in the, actually, in the case of laziness.
Yeah.
I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step. And that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, alone, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
So how do we define being lazy? Like, a lazy person does not go through too much of working, and they are disinterested in everything. They try to distract themselves from doing
yeah.
the things they have to do, and they try to evade the responsibilities. But the youngsters today are evading things. Are they really not working for their life? I guess right now, even the youngsters below the age of 20,
yeah.
they're trying to be independent and they try to work. So is this a sign of being lazy? I don't think so. By the way, you're listening to Youth Station, IRAB English Radio.
Yeah, and there are some few examples of young people today who are who have whatever they want. Who are a little, let's say, richer than the others. So
mm-hmm.
There are some examples of in every era.
I always say that there are some exceptions,
yeah,
but exceptions
course.
Do not break the rule.
Yeah,
room.
There are some exceptions of
yeah.
those people who are lazy, who use the advantages of today's life, and they're
yes.
just like going with the flow.
And they take things for granted.
Yeah.
Yes, I accept that even in this era, like in past. Let's, you know, compare the research stuff in today's world and then compare it to the past world, like the gun eras.
Yeah.
And today, if you want to write a piece of a research or a piece of a report, you don't have to go to libraries and then bring out different books and then be faced up with a pile of books in front of you. You don't have to go through that. No, you have internet, and then you have just with a click on a button, you're going to get whatever you need.
Yeah, so true.
So I'm not just saying which one is better. I'm just saying that time has changed. Maybe what you did in past and that thing took too much of time from you, right now it would take only 5 minutes or maybe even half an hour.
Yeah, and this matter that everything is being faster, everything is being easier to be done, doesn't mean that we are not doing anything. It means we are doing more things.
I would say that even those people who would seem that they're not doing anything, you know, let me rephrase myself. Yes, maybe physically they are not doing anything, but they mentally they are so active. Mentally they are so active. Even if they do not even if they do not have a job, or even if they do not share a part in society, but mentally they are pressured. And I guess this pressure, this mental pressure, is way heavier than physical activity.
And you know, it comes with expectations. Mm-hmm. Once I was asking one of the young people, how do you manage your time? And she was 18, I guess. And she answered, I was asking her about her free time. And she said, you know, I watch my favorite TV shows and my favorite TV programs during the, when I'm eating, while eating. So I asked, okay, why while eating? You know that it's dangerous and it's not okay for your body. And she said, because I have lots of things to do, because my parents are asking me to go to different classes. I have those computer classes. I have to go to the gym. I have a school. I have my English class. And she named lots of classes. And she said, because of all these things, because I have to be prepared. I mean, she was convinced that she has to go through a lot of things. She said, because of all those things that I have to do, I have to just keep my free time while eating. During lunch, I watch my favorite programs. So just see an 18-year-old girl is planning her time like this. Can we label them as being lazy?
No. I don't think that any kind of laziness is attached to these people of these generations.
Because our expectations are shaping them. If
you know, I told you, it's not physical, it's mental.
Yeah.
Even if they are not working or sharing any responsibility with the world outside, but they have this mental pressure which is so heavy.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, we have to refer to the narrations, to the Islamic narrations and this huge heritage that we have behind us. You know, laziness is always degraded in our religion. Like, there is no way for us to be lazy. Our Prophet has always actually encouraged us to be working, to be active, to share a part in society, to be a worthy human being who is responsible and who is sharing a part in the society.
Yeah.
Even in our supplications, we seek refuge to God from being lazy. So I guess for all the Muslims all around the world, be it young or be it old, we're responsible for not being lazy. We have to be active in all different parts of our life.
Yeah, even Imam Ali alayhi salam in the book of Nahj al-Balagha had mentioned that we need not to be a slave to others when Allah has created us free.
Yeah.
It means we are free, we have this power, and we have this freedom. The same kind of hadith comes from Imam Ali alayhi salam, who says, value time before you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are created free. We have this all time to us. So we have to value it. As a Muslim, we have this responsibility, this duty that we have to know where we are going.
Try to change the routine of your life by learning a word in a day. Like, if you're interested in another language, you could actually force yourself into learning something. Not learning language, okay, you're interested in psychology, you go read a page of psychology every day. Pick a book and then read of it. And then, you know, reading is very important. Like, the Holy Book of Quran always encourages us to think. And this brooding and pondering upon different concepts of life is such an important thing that it has been mentioned too much of now. I'm not an expert in Quranic verses, but when you recite it, you see that many times you are encouraged to think more and more. And whatever secret God is revealing in that book, he says, it's for those who think. It's for those who ponder. So that means it's very important to have a habit of reading books, of reading, of getting knowledge every day, of gaining that. This is very important.
And also challenging your life, not just going with the routine, challenging your life and not letting the world decide our pace.
Yeah, so we are not lazy.
Yeah, sure.
This is all for today. I hope you have just enjoyed that. I wish all of us be much more activer and have a much better life. Like to have, you know, I always say that even if you try to help a robin, a bird, like the way Emily Dickinson puts it, if I can help one robin into its nest, if I can help one heart from breaking, if I can stop one heart from breaking, then I shall not live in vain. So my life is all about the things I do, is all about my actions and my words. And I guess this way, if you try to be active in a way that you share a part in society and in the life of your dear ones, then your life is not futile and you're not called as lazy. So I wish God gives us enough of a strength to fight laziness and to be much more active in our life. And until another episode, stay healthy, take care of yourself, and wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 11,740 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 megahertz for Iran. You can also listen to the English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. You can also listen to the radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Try to follow the signs. That's how I live my life. 'Cause when I lead it, my heart, it all goes wrong. My journey has been on time, but only for a short while. The road that I've been on is far too long, and the picture's never clear.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. Today is Tuesday, 15th of July, 2025, corresponding to 24th of Tir 1404 on the Iranian solar calendar and 19th of Muharram, 1447 on the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And we round up this hour's programs with Leader's Speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel presses ahead with its genocidal war on Gaza, killing more civilians in the Palestinian territory, including a refugee camp near Gaza City. Another Israeli soldier has taken own life as number of suicides among regime forces since the start of the year has risen now to 15. And Israel has launched airstrikes on Syria's Suweida after HTS-led regime forces enter the city to end deadly clashes there. Hello everyone, and welcome to World News. Our top story, the Israeli military continues hammering the Gaza Strip with air and artillery strikes, killing around a dozen Palestinians since dawn today. Regime warplanes targeted a residential building in the Ashati refugee camp near Gaza City, killing at least five people and leaving several injured, in a separate attack hitting a neighborhood south of Gaza City. All members of a single family were killed. U.S.-Israeli genocide, which began back in October of 2023, has so far killed nearly 58,400 Palestinians and left over 139,000 wounded. Rising death toll comes amid a deteriorating humanitarian situation as well. According to the UN Children's Fund, more than 5,800 children were diagnosed with malnutrition in June. And joining us now from central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah is Moti Abu Musabe with your update. Moti.
Yes, unfortunately, the brutal airstrikes and attacks are still carried out in full swing. They are still incessant, targeting different parts of Gaza Strip. However, over the past couple of hours, those attacks are still concentrated in Gaza City, in the eastern side of Gaza City. As you know, we are talking about ceaseless Israeli strikes and attacks are still targeting more residential buildings. A short while ago, an entire residential square was completely pummeled and destroyed by the Israeli warplanes. And we understand clearly that every Israeli airstrike hits any area in Gaza Strip, dozens of Palestinian civilians and casualties left behind the attack. So the situation is still apocalyptic. According to the medical sources in Gaza City, at least 24 Palestinian civilians have been confirmed killed since dawn hours till this moment, and unfortunately, dozens of those Palestinian casualties are still trapped, and they are still under the rubble of the destroyed houses, while the Palestinian medical staff and the Palestinian civil defense teams are still unable to reach those areas because of the incessant Israeli strikes and attacks, and the Israeli occupation forces are still preventing any of those, as you know, medical staff and the civil defense teams from reaching and approaching that area. And to be honest, the eastern side of Gaza is still the focal point of those genocidal attacks. But this doesn't mean that the Israeli attacks are only carried out in the eastern side of Gaza City, because over the last night, the Israeli warplanes carried out an airstrike targeting a residential building in the Ashara refugee camp, killing three Palestinian civilians. Additionally, one of the Palestinian members of parliament, one of the Palestinian members of the Palestinian Legislative Council was assassinated over the last night, Dr. Faraj Al-Ghour. He was killed deliberately by the Israeli occupation forces. And as you know, here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli occupation forces also carried on their brutal strikes and attacks. The last attack took place a short while ago after the Israeli fighter drones attacked the gathering of the Palestinian people in the northern part of the central area of Gaza Strip. To be honest, we can hear several deafening bombardments and explosions are still booming in the eastern side of Khan Yunis city, which is still witnessing more cruel attacks of the Israeli occupation forces. According to the Nasser Medical Complex, at least 8 Palestinian civilians have been confirmed killed since the 1 hour till this moment. 2 out of them were women who were trying to obtain some of the food supplies from the aid distribution centers in the western side of Rafah city. And we understand clearly that more attacks were carried out targeting more makeshift tents of the Palestinian people in Al-Mawasi area. The last one took place, as you know, a short while ago, whereas 2 Palestinian civilians were confirmed killed and slaughtered. So the Israeli occupation forces are still escalating the attack,